One of the most crucial things that for every Christian, any Christian anywhere, at any time, we need to learn how to know when God is speaking. You know, a lot of us, you know, say, well, I know this. I'll give you a little background before I start. I have a very dear friend, very intelligent friend. He's very, very capable, educationally wise, and a godly person. But there are sometimes when I listen to him, I go, what is wrong with you? Because sometimes his spiritual analysis of things go way off track. They just do. And I feel like saying what was said to Paul when they made the statement to him, much learning hath made thee mad. Well, we know Paul wasn't mad by any shades, but sometimes I think my dear friend is somewhat mad. I don't understand. I don't understand the reasoning power. I don't understand anything. And so I just wanted to give you that because I wanted to bring that to your attention, that this is where I'm going because I believe this is important for every one of us. I don't care how young you are or how old you are, to understand when God is speaking and not when other things are speaking. It's something that it's critical. It's absolutely critical. You want to live a Christian life, you want to do it. Well, what do we live it for if we're not living it to honor God, right? I mean, isn't that why we're living this life? To give him back the praise and to understand what he would like for us to do. Learning is critical. It's not easy. Now, I've had some people say, well, I just pray and say, oh, yeah, okay, this is God. I'm going, it's never been that easy for me. It's never been easy for me to understand the depth of where God wanted me to be and to get it exactly right that would glorify the Lord. And so I picked a passage of Scripture today that kind of explains the difficulty that most God's people have with understanding what is God's will. What does he want me to do? You guys have a task ahead of you. To understand, where does God want me to go to school? What does God want me to do about this? Who does God want me to marry? Ethan, are you kidding me? I love it. I've been waiting a long time to get to say that, Ethan. I love you. That was incredible. If you'd asked somebody that's sitting right beside her daughter right now a long time ago, she would probably say that very same thing. But she learned. What a wonderful son-in-law they gained right there. And, what, of course, what a beautiful bride you have. You know, what took place in the Word of God over and over and over again in the history of Israel brings me to a man's life, and his name is Gideon. And in the book of Judges, Judges chapter 6, it begins the entire story about Gideon's life and about why he was the one sent to do it. It's a kind of like a broken record type deal when you listen about the children of Israel, when you watch their lives. I mean, here they are, the children of Israel, they fall into apostasy. And then what happens? God sends an enemy, and that enemy comes to get them in line, chasing them. And then the children of Israel, the God's children, they begin to cry and whine about how terrible it is. And what does God do? He sends a judge to bring them out of their oppression, to save them from what they were doing. I mean, this is the story of all of the nation of Israel. I don't know what it is about it, but I look at our own lives. I look at Christians today that have received Christ as their personal Savior. And then the next thing you know, they're off here in la-la land over here doing nonsense. And you want to go, was he worth living for? If he saved you and he changed your life, why do you want to go back to the old ways? Why do you want to go back and get involved in the junk? Well, because that is the nature of God's people. It certainly was of Israel, but yet God still loves them, as he does each one of us. And there are times I've wondered, why would you ever love me like that? Why would you ever forgive me? I don't deserve it. And I watch lives all the time, and I want to go ask the same question. But he gave us an account, the story of Gideon. Gideon in chapter 6 of Judges, they had a real issue. Gideon had a problem, and so did the entire nation, with the Midianites. Now, if you don't know what the Midianites are, well, good luck. I don't either too much. I just know where they kind of hung out. If you've ever seen geography of the Holy Lands, if you go down to the base of the Dead Sea, you move a little east, okay? Move you a little bit to the east and a little bit down, a little further south, near Petra, actually, if you know where that is. If you don't, go study the Bible on your time, not mine. But that's where they came from. And what would they do? They would come out of the desert. You know, desert used to be a great barrier for the children of Israel. No one could attack out of the desert, or at least very few, because they always used horses, donkeys. But here the Midianites began to use camels. Now, if you've ever seen the hoof of a camel, they're huge. They could go across the sand. They would not get bogged down. They had their own water supply in those humps. They could go literally days or even weeks without getting water or food or anything else. So the Midianites took advantage of that. For 7 years, they plagued the children of Israel. There was no one to stand up to them. The nation had groups here, there, and yon, but none of the tribes would come together to fight this one adversary. And then God said, "Hey, Gideon, I need you. You're the one that I'm going to use to make this thing happen. I need a man of faith. I need a man with dynamic courage." Gideon goes, "You're not looking for me. I'm not that guy. I'm not him." He said, "You got these nomadic people that are riding out of the desert. What would they do? They come and take all the crops. They destroy, right at harvest time, they destroy everything. And then they would take all the livestock and they'd flee back into the desert and be gone and disappear." Well, they were plagued so bad that Gideon, the angel spoke to Gideon. He said, "Why are you allowing this, God? Why are you allowing this to take place to your children that they come in and destroy everything? We have nothing that we really, truly need because they always take it away." He said, "Well, I have an answer. His name is Gideon." Was Gideon, did he have a cape and a big S over his chest? Maybe he drove the Batmobile when somebody else wasn't using it. He didn't do anything. He was a farmer. A very humble farmer, actually. He was the kind of man that you and I probably would not pick out to defend us. He wasn't great big and couldn't come at you with all legs and arms flying at the same time. But that has always been the choice of God. God always selects someone that you and I would say, "Oh, no, that can't be." But he chose Gideon, the least likely. In fact, in verse number 15, I'm in chapter 6. Let me back up to verse 14. "And the Lord looked upon him and said, 'Go in this thy might, and thou shalt save Israel from the hand of the Midianites. Have I not sent thee?'" Verse 15. "And he said unto him, 'O my Lord, wherewith shall I save Israel? Behold, my family is poor in Manasseh, and I am the least in my father's house.'" Doesn't sound too promising, does it? "Lord, can you not see? Do you not understand? I am the least. Not only am I not a big person physically, I'm not strong, I've got the smallest, I'm the runt of the litter. That's who I am." Who was Manasseh? Manasseh was the smallest tribe. It was the tribe that no one put a lot of confidence in. It was the weakest tribe. It wasn't the great and the powerful of all the 12 tribes. Why would you pick Manasseh? Because God said, little is much when God is in it. When God is in something, that makes all the difference. And that is the difference. He always comes out to do it. Isn't that the way God does things? Haven't you overcome things in your life or watched something you stood back and go, "Wow, can you believe that God chose that person to do that?" And then all of a sudden they came alive. You know, young people, you went to camp. Had a great time, right? Good time? Allie had a good time. Okay, I'm glad to hear that. Tell us about it. Susan, you've always had something to say in life. has never been without something to say. I have said, I watch y'all. I know you had a great time. Please don't take after your fearless leader, Cody, that hadn't anything to say at times. I had to prod him, push him, just make him talk. You have an opportunity. Where do you get to do that? Well, you get to do it among friends. You get to say things. You get to talk about it. I mean, I stood many times. Now, of course, you say, well, that's easy for you. It wasn't always easy. But the more you got up in front of people, the more your witness would come out. Did you talk when you're at camp? Sure you did. I know you did. You won't admit it, but that's what you do. I know you guys. Can I tell you this about Gideon? He felt like he was a nothing. Yeah, that's what he thought. He was the most insignificant. Had the smallest family, the smallest tribe, the weakest, all those kind of things. You know what he sounded like? He sounded like a Moses. Well, Moses was great. He was all this kind of thing. What did Moses say to God? Lord, I cannot speak. And he probably stammered through that part of it. What a great line he had. How about Isaiah? If you read over in Isaiah, now, John, if you go there this morning in Sunday school, you're going to be, we're in the fifth chapter, not the sixth chapter. There you are. Stay in the fifth chapter. What did Isaiah say in the sixth chapter? He said, I'm a man of unclean lips. What was he saying? I don't qualify. I'm not who I should be. What did Jeremiah say? That great prophet Jeremiah. His whole thing was, I'm just a child. But these are the people that God chose. God had servants that may not have been powerful as you might think. They only pointed out their inadequacies. They never pointed out all of the attributes. Well, the attributes that they all had that came to pass was God. And God did that. I recall reading about one of the incredible preachers. Did Yale lectures and did all these things. His name was Leslie. You think, a guy? You called him Leslie? Yeah, that's exactly what we called him. His name was Leslie Weatherhead. He was a Methodist pastor. He lived in England during World War II. One of his jobs was during the terrible bombing that Germany put on England. I mean, they bombed London to smithereens everywhere. His was an air raid warden. Well, one night after one of the most terrible raids that had, he was out doing his rounds in the area that he lived, and he ran into a little 8-year-old boy. And he looked at this little 8-year-old boy, and he was sobbing over all the things. He's right in the midst of all the dirt and all the bombing, everything. The smoke was still coming up. And in that sobbing time, he said to the little boy, are you lost? And the little boy couldn't even answer. All he could do was shake his head. He said, well, where's your father? Where does he live? He goes, he's in the service overseas. You ever think about that? I thought that was so strange. He's in the service overseas. I didn't know England was overseas. I thought they were the overseas. But that was his reply. He said, well, how about your mother or your brother or your sister? They're all dead. He said, well, don't you have any grandparents? How about an aunt, an uncle? I mean, surely you've got somebody. And he said, no. He said, well, who are you? Now, that's a great question to ask an 8-year-old that's crying. He began to sob even more. And this was his reply. Mister, I ain't nobody's nothing. That really describes Gideon in a lot of ways. I ain't nobody's nothing. No one would have picked Gideon. Even though you see that name Gideon today and we worldwide, Bible distributions, all the great things, because he wasn't anything in his own eyes, but God made him something. He made him something great. Gideon would say that, say, I'm a nobody. And God said, that's exactly who I'm looking for. I'm looking for all those that say there are nobodies. Look at verse number 16. He says, and the Lord said unto him, surely I will be with thee, and thou shalt smite the Midianites as one man. One man. He didn't say like an army, you're going to have 200,000 people go down on these Midianites and do all this. He said, no, I'm going to be with you, and I'm going to do this one thing right here. You know, that's always been the key to success. When God says, I am the one that's going to be with you. I'm the one that's going to do this. I'm going to make this all take place right here. And what did Gideon say? I'm ready. Let me go get him. No, that's not what he said. He said, Lord, I don't recognize. And he went through all the things all the way down through the sixth chapter. But the one thing that he said, he put God to a test. You know, have you ever tested God? Really? Nobody? You ever put something out before God and say, I can't get a clear answer about this thing, so I'm going to put him to a test? Well, the test, there's a very famous test, is the test of the fleece. A fleece, and I've used that my very thing, not the, literally the dry and the wet, but I mean of the thing. I put out a fleece before the Lord. One time when he put out the fleece, it was going to be wet everywhere on the ground and dry on the fleece. That was going to be the answer, and it was. And he takes right around and he said, Lord, man, I believe you. You've given me all this confirmation, but can you show me again? And so what do I want now? I want the fleece to be wet, nothing out with. The ground dry. Well, all that took place. And with those things, I'm really cutting down chapter 6 and 7, people. If you didn't understand that, you'll go home and read that some other time. Here is Gideon, the least of anybody. But when God said, I'm going to do this in your life, and I have proved it, the confirmation was so strong that Gideon began to talk to all of his family, all of the other tribes, and he mustered up an army. And that army went over and whipped the absolute doggy out of all those people. The Midianites went down. They got 40 years of peace. And what does it say about him? Gideon lived to be an old man and had peace all the days of his life. Because, why? Because God. God's the one that made the difference. God is the one that always makes the difference. Now, it's a great story. I encourage you to read it, but just not right now. I want to know how you hear God. How does God speak to you? How do you know what God's will? How do you discern God's voice? As I said, my dear friend, sometimes he said there's a spirit of disinformation. I'm going, disinformation, that sounds like Satan to me. That sounds just like somebody saying one thing. Well, this morning, I picked four ways. I'm sure there's many more than these four ways. I'm sure that these four ways, some of them may not make you happy. Okay? These are Jim's four ways. Now, they may be something like your four ways, but they're Jim's four ways. And this is how I believe that God does things to speak to me. Now, God may speak to you differently, this and that's okay. I hope that he does. But this is how I believe God speaks to me. I think God speaks to me through open doors. He speaks through not only open doors, and this may be a little hard on you. He speaks through common sense, reason. He speaks through divine impressions. And the one that really settles it all the time, he speaks through inner peace. That's what he does for me. Open doors. Open doors of opportunity. Those are the things that God allows. The Apostle Paul talked about that all the time. He always talked about open doors. He interpreted those open doors to be God's will. This is what I believe God wants me to do, and I'm going to. But he based it upon the open doors of opportunity. This is my opportunity. How many do you really, truly need to have an answer every time? God said, you're out there, you're his child, I'm in you, and somebody comes up to you and says, I need to pray, well, I need to talk to you. Is there not a witness on your lips? Is there not something in your heart that wells up? That is God's will. I've opened a door. You met somebody. I'm giving you this opportunity. You'll know if you're casting your pearl before swine. Walk away. You know if you need to knock the dust off your feet and move on. You'll know how to do that. But God had given us that opportunity like he did for the Apostle Paul over and over again. Dr. David Livingston, that's another person out of history, great missionary. Not only a great missionary, great evangelist, a great emancipator, he was all those things. He wanted to go to China. That's where he felt God wanted to go. Well, during that time, the opium trade got so hot that they had a war over opium. They don't need to do that, the cartels now. But they had no, so he could not go to China. The doors were closed. He had made his plans. He was going to go serve, but the door is closed. In comes the person that made a difference as God's angel to him in this world. That simply, he talked to him. I mean, it was a very simple thing. Robert Moffat says to him about Africa. And he begins to share a little about Africa. You know what happened? Dr. David Livingston said, that's what God wants me to do. This is my open door. I have to share the word. And he went to Africa. I promise you this, the nation of Africa never was the same again. Because David Livingston, by God's grace and the strength that he put into him, he followed that opportunity and became a hero in that entire nation. You see, that was an opportunity that God gave him. An opportunity that you know, sometimes the doors are open. Now, two words of caution. You need to get these kind of things. Not every opportunity is of God. Okay? Not every opportunity is of God. David, King David, and King Saul. Saul lost the kingdom. He backed up on God. Started doing what he wanted to do. God tried to bring him to life. He would not come into life. So he tells Samuel, he's out, David's in. Go anoint David. So you know what took place after that. I hope you do, out of the word of God, that Saul pursued David everywhere he went, tried to kill him. Was going to kill him because he was jealous of him. And it wouldn't happen. Everywhere, David eluded him all the time. But in that eluding and all those things that happened, David had two different times. He could have solved the problem. He had an opportunity to kill him. Could have killed him easily. No problem at all. David could have taken him out. Goodbye to the problem. Never going to have that problem again. I'll just take him out. That sounds like some people I know. But what did David say? I can't touch God's anointed. It wasn't given to David to kill him. You see, even though the opportunity was there, he would not, because he knew that's not what God said. Every opportunity you get, well, it may be an opportunity, it may not be God. So you need to make sure what it is God or it's not God, all right? The second aspect of that very same thing is not only that they're not always it, but now y'all, you spiritual people, hang on. There are times that God places a door in front of you. Sometimes the door needs a nudge. How does God do that? He presses you to push the door. You say, well, that's not spiritual. I think it's very spiritual. Have you ever done anything in life, been anywhere, gone any place that you did not? You prayed for God's guidance in your life, and the reason that you asked for it right there, that opportunity was going to come, and you followed through on that, even though that door may not have been wide open. Oh, come on in. God doesn't have automatic door openers, people. He puts, because of our love for him, and because we put him where he belonged first, God sometimes has to say, push the door. I came to Texas, got into Baylor, left Baylor after visiting one time, and I told my best friend, Butch Reel, that I don't care where you go, because he was an All-American to play. He could play anywhere he wanted to. If they'll let me in, I'm going to Baylor. Now, if you see my grades, push the door. It opened. I came to Baylor. Did I do that? No, God did it. But God put a means in my heart that I knew I would be obedient to him. And I realized it just was an automatic door. Oh, they put me with all the great teachers. I had the great English teacher one time, and her whole job was to get rid of all the dead weight. Yeah, well, I thought that some of the greatest writing was ever made was Reader's Digest. So if you want some real depth in your reading and your writing, just do, never mind, okay. Sometimes, this is how God does things. It's through an opportunity called an open door. The second aspect of that is the one that really gets people going sometimes in spiritual realms. I call this an opportunity, how God speaks, common sense. You said, well, the nature is terrible. I said, people, you don't have to give me that argument. I've heard it. I know it. I've used it. But sometimes God gives you a brain. You know that the brains were God's idea? That's amazing, isn't it? Why don't we practice with them? I mean, it was his idea. So I guess he wants us to use it. Anything that has been sanctified and given unto him is God's business. And he uses common sense or God sense then. If you want to make it spiritual, I'll make it spiritual. But he gives us reason. Why do you do what you do? Because God gave you a brain. At least I hope he gave you a brain. But some people say, I got to be more spiritual about this. I got to pray over everything. Some people are bogged down in their sensitive spirit. And sometimes God said, what have I already done in your life? You know, I know on the surface it looks better if you're more spiritual. And you pray over everything. You seek God's lead. You always do the same. God led you to himself. He called you. He nurtured you. He did all of these things in your life. What? That he raised an idiot? No, he did something in your life that said, prove me now. And how do we do that? Well, sometimes we use the sense God gave us. Yeah, really. If God gave you a watch, I like watches. I know you guys like phones, but I like watches. Would it be more spiritual for me to ask God what time it is or to look at my watch? Well, if you're like me and God doesn't speak that quickly all the time, well, I can tell you right now, it'd be a long time before I ever found out what time it was. And I might miss supper, and I haven't missed too many suppers. Maybe you're a sailor out there, and God gave you a compass. Would it be better to pray and ask God which direction is north or look at your compass? Oh, you say, yeah, you're getting out of here. You're getting out on this thing. I'm trying to tell you people that God has done something in our lives, and he gave us a brain. Use it. I already warned you about every opportunity or not of God. But I know this. God gave you. If you don't have common sense, if you don't have a brain, stay off I-35. There's plenty of others just like you out there. If it's not in, okay. Everything is not in the Word of God. You understand that? I mean, I'm sorry that cars are not in the Word of God except for if you're Steve's Word of God. And he said they're all in one accord. Okay, I got that one. He always had to share that one with me. But some things aren't in the Word of God. What do you do about that? Well, if it's not specifically forbidden or not encouraged, maybe you just need to ask God and use a brain that God gave you. That would be a good thing. Do what God has given you in your life because you put him first. I think Christians are intelligent people. Prove it. I'm serious. Live it out. Because there's plenty out there that are so heavenly minded, as they say, they're of no earthly use. Can't make a decision. Can't go anywhere. I'm a shepherd. Ye are the sheep. I'll take you to the pasture, but I won't tell you what tougher grass to eat. Okay? Did you get that, sheep? Bah, yeah, I love it. Thank you. I'm not here to tell you what every little detail of life. And God is sitting there going, I gave you something so strong and so powerful. The presence within you. And that presence within you is not operated only out of the heart. It's operated out of the head. Business people, tell me about it. You have everyday decisions that need to be made. Mark, you got to dig a ditch out there for your plumbing company. Do you do that with a little beady shovel or do you get a big shovel? I hope you got a big shovel or you call somebody that's got a backhoe. Right? Hey, use your brain. This is the brain God gave you. This is what your experience says. Some people become ridiculous. They become ridiculous and call it spirituality. And it's not spirituality, it's just ridiculous. Anyway, some of you scholars, Dr. Henry Ironsides, one of the famous Baptist preachers, evangelist, brilliant man, absolutely brilliant. He needed to go to a meeting one time. Well, he didn't have a way. But this young man was there, and he was told about this young man, and the young man was there. He goes, he went to him and said, would you take me to this meeting? Now, we're talking about a big crusade, people. We're not talking about some little piddly thing. So Dr. Ironside asked him, could you take me? He said, let me pray about it. Dr. Ironside looked right back at him and said, no, never mind. Because if you have to pray about whether I get to go to this meeting or not, or whether you take me or not, then once I'm there, if God says yes, once I'm there, you may pray to God again. He said, don't take him home. I'll be stuck. I promise you, if Billy Graham ever asked me to take him someplace, I would have taken him someplace. People, we have given open doors. We've been given a brain that God gave us. Because, and he sanctified that brain, and he works in our lives, and you know what he has done. But that brain one time, why do you say, well, just the brain? God works in the heart. Yes, he does work in the heart. I know that he works in the heart. Get Shane Pruitt's book, 9 Lies That Christians Believe. You ever read that book?
Yeah.
Y'all need to read the book. Okay, there's one man there that said, follow your heart. I want to tell you something. That's the most ignorant thing if you really do it. Why? When he says it, it's based on your emotions. Now, how many of you have done things that, on your emotions? How did that work out? Called many times. Thank you. How many times that you did something on your emotion only for it to come back and kick you in the face? There's plenty of divorces that have taken place in life based on emotion. This is my relationship. This is what I'm going to do. She's the one. Got to be, woo! And where did that lead you? Well, I listened. I followed my heart. That's not God's word. I followed my heart, and I should have listened to what God did in my head. What he said to me right there. I think you can find God's word to be very open, but you got to have a brain to read it. Okay, I'll get off of that one. All right, I think God does to me through divine impressions. You ever think about that? Does God impress something on you? Brother Carr came to me. I've been here 20 years now. It's amazing. About 20, 21, 22 years ago and said, God wants you to take this ministry. You've heard me tell this before. And I said, Brother Carr, I love you. I appreciate you. I respect you. I've been around him for 20 years prior to that. And I said, until God speaks, I'm not doing anything. And that's one of those biggies in life. It's one of those that comes, what school do you want me to go to? What person do you want me to marry? What kind of job you want me to be? What profession am I? Where do I go about this or do that? It's a biggie, okay? This is a very biggie. Cornerstone was a biggie, all right, in my life. I'd been in the ministry a long time at that point, almost 30 years at that point. And God said, I'll speak to you about that. I loved him. But I had to say, no, when God shows me, when God speaks to me, then I will respond. Now, did I tell you how slow I was about knowing God's voice? It only took me 6 months. Yeah, it did. And what did it take? It took me down at this altar, right here praying, one night in the middle of a meeting with Sonny Holland, and I'm right down there praying, and I said, Lord, I'm temporal, you're eternal. You need to say to me, send somebody, this is my fleece, send somebody that has no idea what I'm praying about to tell me what you want me to do. Next thing I know, I mean, no more got that uttered in my head and my heart, and someone grabs me by the hand. Yes, it was Margaret. She goes, I think this is right. And I'm going to go, Lord, thank you. She does not count. I said, somebody that has no idea what I'm praying about. At that point, I had a donkey come down the aisle. Not literally, but it fit the mode of the donkey, okay? Tap me on the shoulder, Brother Jim. God has given me a word. I went, a word. Yeah, word, brother. Okay. He said, two things, to go. There's my confirmation. God sent somebody who had no idea what he was talking about, but God knew. I had an impression from God that I would pray over this very situation until God revealed it to me. You see, some of you work on secondhand knowledge. I like firsthand knowledge. I believe that God can speak and will speak. There comes times he said, put out the fleece. Find a way that God will speak to you. And he did. He spoke to me. Did he not say, come, let us reason together? Did he not say, look into my word? Isn't that a great guidance? The word of God is always a great guidance. But like I said, not everything's in the word. Not every situation that we face today was written about specifically in the word. But he gave us something that was very specific. It's called the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit gives us an impression. The Holy Spirit is a guidance. He guides our lives and tells us what he wants us to do. He tells me what I'm praying about, what I want, and this is what he does. I have an inner impression in my heart. And you say, well, I don't know if that's any good. I didn't ask you. It's my gut feeling. This is what I believe God wants me to do. Why? Because he says, these things you ought to do, and these things you ought not to do. And how do I know? Because God gave me an impression, and he made it very clear unto me. That leads me right into my last thing, the fourth one. Now, people, like I said, I knew when I started, some of you are going to go, well, this guy's crazy. Yeah, I am. I'm still the pastor, but I'm so good at him. How does God speak? He speaks through inner peace. Are you in turmoil today? Yeah. Some people have problems. They have turmoil. They don't know what God is saying. They're going to go running out there, and they're going to do what I gave you in the very first one. They're going to move on an opportunity that's not God's opportunity. Satan has a way of opening doors. Satan has a way of luring you into something you shouldn't be into. You need to have inner peace concerning the will of God. 2 Corinthians. I'll give you an opportunity to look there. 2 Corinthians, the second chapter. I did mark this. Hopefully I can turn to it quickly enough, because I think it's very important. 2 Corinthians, the second chapter. I have a big Bible, people. It'll take me a while. Y'all get on your phones. You can get there real quick. I can tell God did not lead you in this problem. 2 Corinthians, the second chapter. It's right after 1 Corinthians. All right. Look at verse number 12. The Apostle Paul. Furthermore, when I came to Troas to preach Christ's gospel, a door was opened unto me. Oh, what? That's where I got that, didn't I? There was an open door of the Lord. But look at verse 13. I had no rest in my spirit. Why? Because I found not Titus, my brother. But taking my leave of them, I went from thence unto Macedonia. You know, that was one of the greatest blessings Europe ever had. It was because the Apostle Paul, who usually planned his own itinerary. Yeah, he did. I'm sure he prayed about those kind of things all the time, which I want you to do. I want you to pray over that. But obviously, in this case, he had planned his own itinerary. And all those missionary journeys he took, he had a plan that makes sense. If you go to this one, then you'll go to this one, this one, this one, this one, and then you'll come back. You won't go to this one, over to that one, over to this one, over to that. No. There was a plan that he had. But God spoke to him. In his heart, he had no peace. He had no peace about what he was doing. And therefore, that no peace changed his very itinerary. And yes, I know it was his last decision. But because of that, he turned and went to Europe. You see, where is the foundation of most of our religion today in America? Came out of Europe. Because God spoke to him. You see, God leads our stops as well as our goes. He does both of those kind of things. Sometimes he says go. Sometimes he says no. How do you know that? How do you hear it? I have had open doors. God has given me a God-sense reason. God has done things in my life that says, this is my will. But the one that always comes through the clearest is the peace. When you make a decision for Christ, when you make a decision about what he wants to do, he will bring peace to your heart. To me, peace is one of the clearest messages you could ever have. When it's wrong, I really don't need to spend much time praying about it. I know it immediately in my spirit. This doesn't feel right. This is not right. Am I thinking about that with my heart? Sometimes. But most of the time, it's probably in my head saying, that's not it. I'm not doing that. If you want God's leading today, seek God. Why am I saying it that way? Seek God and not his will. If you seek God, you'll have his will. You ever think about that? Seek God. Seek God out. Do what I've asked you to do. Follow what the Holy Spirit says. Seek out God and you'll understand. You'll get his will. It comes in a package. But people are always seeking the will. I want to seek God. Get in the Word. Find yourself immersed in what God said. You got his Word right in front of you. Sometimes he makes his will known to us, but he never makes it apart from him. Never. It's consistent with the Word of God. Do you know that the Lord is an innovator? That he does not do it the same way twice? You say, well, I'm waiting for the fleece to be wet or dry. Good luck on that. I'm waiting on this over here. Well, good luck on that too. God has different methods of teaching every one of us different things, how to go, what to do. Hey, there's a burning bush. There's a pillar of fire. Oh, there's a cloud. Oh, God provided the ladder to the heavens. And I watched the angels go back and forth between heaven and earth. God sent a donkey to stop a prophet. Did he not? Doesn't sound to me like the same thing. How about a fiery chariot? Ask Elijah about that when you get there. How about a strange vision? Did not John have all the guidance that he needed to write the great book of the Revelation? Yeah, but it was strange. It was different. How about graffiti on the king's wall? Yeah, remember that one? If you don't, go look it up. How about an angel that said, I'm going to bring someone into your world, and there was a baby in Bethlehem? You see, God does things the way God chooses to do it. And it's not always the same. So don't limit him. Don't limit God on one way. It's got to be this way or no way. Because that's not how God does things. God chooses to do things different. We all have experience, okay? But how he did it then, and my experience, is not the norm, people. How God does it in your life is the norm. How he wants to show you. God will speak any way he wants to. He'll choose to bring anybody around to tell you something. Because that's God. God doesn't have to bring, you know, a flaming evangelist in here. I love it when he does. But I know this, that he can use anyone as he chooses. One day, ask Gideon. He used a man that was humble. He used a man that didn't think he was anything great, that he was the least of the least. That's who we need. We need people that have a temperament that says, I'm willing to be taught. I don't care how old you are. I'm willing to follow after what you say. Thy will, O Lord, nothing more, nothing less, and nothing else. That's what we need. You want to hear from God? Those are my four ways. I'm sure that God will show you different than me. But I know right now that inner peace makes it all the difference. Let's pray.